And welcome back into the Swarmcast. A quick little recruiting one. Myself, David Eichel, along with Sean Bach, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports. And just before we really get started here, I want to remind you that we have 60% off an annual subscription to HawkeyeInsider.com, just over $3 a month for literally a couple hundred pieces of Hawkeye-related content a month. Become a true Hawkeye Insider today for all the latest news, scoop, analysis, and discussion that you crave. But Sean, it seems like there's been not much moving on the needle of recruiting, but it seems like over the past couple of weeks, some news is finally starting to happen.
Yeah, and the big one on Wednesday night too, Waukee three-star wing and top Iowa basketball target, Peyton Sanford announced that he will announce his college decision on October 1st. Obviously, as I mentioned before, that he's been a top target for Iowa ever since they offered, and he's been the top guy on the board for the longest time, and like really only one of the guys they're actively recruiting as of maybe last week in the 2021 class. It's really, if Iowa lands Sanford, it's really tough to see right now who they could go after in 2021 if they get Sanford in the fold. Maybe a big man would probably be the most likely situation, but I think with Josh Ogundele being back in the United States, I think the rush to get a big man in this cycle isn't as big as it once was. Because, I mean, obviously you had Trey James, who went to Iona instead of Iowa, one that was really – what many people I've talked to that are close to Trey being like almost a miracle how that happened or how he didn't end up at Iowa. I wouldn't say miracle, but it really surprised – really, really surprised a lot of people. So, I mean, if you can get a guy like Sanford in the fold, I mean, I have my crystal ball in Iowa right now. I just feel like the dead period was huge for them. No AAU, nothing. I think if Sanford would have gotten the normal exposure on the AAU circuit, then I think this offer list could have been a lot more interesting. And plus, I also think that he would have been able to go look at some of the schools like Stanford. I mean, he took an official visit to Utah last October. Really liked what he saw there. But I think at the end of the day, what's going to be a big deal for him is staying close to home. And I think Iowa, Minnesota, Drake offer that. But right now I have my crystal ball in Iowa, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I think Iowa's really put, you know, the full court press on Peyton. And, you know, from I think what you've written in some of your analysis, the way Iowa would like to use him would be a C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp type role. And I think that's pretty appealing to him, especially when you look at how he'd fit into Iowa's offense. And who knows with the future of you know, Joe Wieskamp. I mean, he might like to try to begin his professional basketball career if he has a big season and if Iowa has a big season. So, you know, Peyton might be able to step into a pretty significant role as a younger guy. I mean, probably he'll be behind Patrick McCaffrey. I assume he'll get the starting nod after. But you got to think that's got to be appealing to him as well, Sean.
Right, and he can play both, like, the 2, 3, or 4 spot. I think ideally at the next level he plays the 3 or 4. Because I believe in Iowa's offense, those positions, depending on who's out there, are kind of interchangeable. Like, say him and Keegan Murray are on the court together. Like, those guys can switch off. They're both pretty plus-size rebounders, good rebounders, can make things happen from the perimeter, obviously. Like, both that's both of their strengths to shoot. And then, too, you add in Patrick McCaffrey as well. Those are, like, three guys that can kind of interchange at that 3-4 spot. So, it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens down the stretch. In terms of his recruitment, I know things seem to be – the dust seems to be sailing a little bit, and he really seems to be focused in. I mean, a month ago when I went to Ankeny to see him at Kingdom Hoops, he really wasn't focused on the recruiting process. But you could definitely tell that there was kind of a way in his head where he – or thing in his head where he was kind of like, I know I need to, like, make decisions coming up. Like, I know I got a big decision coming up, and I need to make it soon. But he really didn't seem to be in a rush in anything. That's kind of the kid he is, too. He's got a lot going on. So, yeah, just keep an eye out for October 1st because that's going to be a big date.
And I'll say this, too. I know we've talked about this a few times, but it really is unfortunate for, you know, guys like Peyton and recruits across the country, the fact that they will not be able to officially visit schools. I mean, because the NCAA extended their dead period, I believe, through the end of this year. January 1st will be the earliest when things go, quote-unquote, back to normal. And who knows what it'll look like then. So, you know, it really is kind of a it's a scary situation for a lot of recruits, I think. And I think, like you said, Iowa should feel pretty good just based off the attention they've given Peyton. And really, just like you said, that close to home factor. And so we'll have to keep an eye out on October 1st for Peyton to announce his decision. You know, he's held offers from where, Sean? Drake, Stanford, Minnesota, Utah are probably the five primary schools.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say those are the primary schools.
So be sure to keep an eye out on that. And like you said, and by the way, I want to plug this too. Sean put out a tremendous 2022 basketball recruiting piece for our VIPs yesterday, over 2,000 words, in-depth, everything you need to know. So again, 60% off there. And, you know, I think that 2022 class will be incredibly interesting, especially if Iowa only does like to take one person to 2021 class. But another guy, Sean, on the football side of things, you know, a lot of people are wondering about Nebraska native tight end, 2021 tight end James Carney, where Iowa kind of sits with him right now. I know he picked up an offer from Kansas State last week. Nebraska is still kind of kicking the tires around, but, you know, obviously Scott Frost has, you know, more important issues going on in his life, as his father Larry tragically passed away last week. So obviously our thoughts and prayers are with the Nebraska family there. But give us the latest with James Carney.
Yes, things right now seem to be down to Iowa, Kansas State, Nebraska. But, I mean, I give the top to Iowa and Kansas State right now, because being the first two Power Fives to offer is really significant. Nebraska's really been kind of dragging him along, it seems like, over the past couple months. And I don't know, man. I think in terms of just the way Nebraska, when I talked to James, I think what he was really appealing to him was the possibility of going to a place like Iowa, where he's the one tight end in the class. I think that's a lot more intriguing to him than, say, going to a place like Nebraska. If they end up offering, that would have three tight ends in the class. Now, there's a possibility that he could switch to the defensive side of the ball if he goes to a school like Nebraska, but I think his mind's kind of set on playing tight end. So right now, I'd say Iowa and Kansas State are the top two. Those two schools, I've been told, have been just constantly on him, talking to him every day, continuing to form that relationship. And, I mean, he's got a decision coming up, too. I believe he wants to make one around mid to early October. So, I mean, Nebraska, I know, like we said, has a lot of other stuff going on. But if they want to make a move, I think they got to get in here pretty quick, because Carney seems to be really set on Iowa and Kansas State right now. I mean, I know he's keeping his options open, talking to a couple other schools. I believe Virginia Tech's one of them. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to these regional schools. And I know we've talked about Iowa's tight end tradition, how successful that's been. But I think with Kansas State, you got to look at the relationships here and think about it. Like, too, I think Manhattan, where Kansas State is closer to first Nebraska, where Carney resides, than Iowa City. So That's definitely going to play a factor. And I think the relationships, too, that he's built with the Kansas State staff is longer than the one that he's had with Iowa. But Iowa's done all they can here in the past few weeks, especially. They've really picked it up with him. Been one of the first schools, Power Five schools, to reach out, along with Nebraska, when Carney's stock seemed to be really emerging this summer. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think at the end of the day, the two schools in the best position right now are Kansas State and Iowa, even if Nebraska offers.
And Sean's done a tremendous job for us on HawkeyeInsider.com, giving our VIPs the latest information, especially, like you said, surrounding James Carney, who I think, you know, probably would have gained some offers had he been able to travel this summer. I think he's made tremendous strides in his game, and I think he'd fit in well with the Iowa offense. But I think if there's one thing Iowa does not need to worry about, it's going to be tight end. They do find a way to get guys. They get some high-end guys. I mean, you look at Luke Lachey in 2020. Look at Elijah Yelbert in 2020 as well. And they thrive on getting those under-the-radar guys like Sam Laporta, who I think is going to be a big, big breakout guy in the Big Ten this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But Sean, moving forward to probably our last topic, again, this is just a very quick hitting recruiting podcast. 2022 top 247 safety / defensive back Xavier Nwankwo from Southeast Polk is definitely emerging as one of the top secondary players in the country. I know you've had the chance to speak with him in person and scout him a few times. I mean, he's as good as advertised, and his recruitment is starting to turn up as LSU officially offered him a couple days ago. So what's the latest with Xavier, and give us a mini scouting breakdown of him?
Yeah, so I'll give the scouting breakdown first. I've seen him, I believe, this is my first time this year. Was last Friday against Valley, and I saw him a couple workouts over the summer. And like you said, Dave, like he's a true 6'2", 6'3". I'd say he's probably around like 190 now. Put on some good weight from last year. Guy that can get downhill and really deliver a hit. Really good in coverage. He's still pretty raw here and there in some areas, but I think overall body of work, like the upside that he has with just his athleticism and everything else he offers, is just too good to pass up, even if you're a program like LSU who's put so many defensive backs in the NFL. But as far as recruiting goes, I mean, LSU was a big offer. Ohio State, obviously, like those types of offers are going to get attention from prospects. But I think you got to look at here, Nwankwo's a guy that strikes, or just talking to him, not a big hype guy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like kind of a down-to-earth kid that really is looking for the right fit rather than the program, like the program's name. Obviously, he's one that teases on Twitter, like, because he's got guys like Caden Proctor, his teammate, a Southeast Polk four-star offensive lineman, who's a highly regarded guy. And he knows a couple of commits from other schools. I think Penn State commits he's pretty close with. Iowa commits, obviously. So I think you're going to look, at the end of the day, I think with Nwankwo, you're going to have to look at relationships more than that name of the program. I think that's where Iowa's in a good spot right now, because they've been involved with him as far back as his recruitment goes. I mean, Iowa State and Nebraska were the first ones to offer. But Iowa, man, like the targets or the commits that he's tight with, the in-state push, like he's probably the top target on the board in 2022 because of his ability and just how talented he is. So I think in terms of just his offer with expanding, I think he's going to take a look at some of those bigger schools whenever the dead period extends. But I think before people kind of freak out about him going elsewhere, you got to see where he visits first and how many times he gets back to Iowa City, how his relationship keeps him, or how his relationship is with the Iowa commits. I mean, I talked to him on Friday, and he said Brody Brex obviously has been on him for a while. Jordan Oladokun has been starting to talk to him a bit, and Arlen Bruce, who seems to be a really convincing kid, when it comes to that kind of stuff, has been playing Xbox with him as well. So those guys have certainly been talking him up. And like we said before, just the in-state poll for Iowa is something else. And if they keep putting these guys in the league, then that's going to help them with a guy like Nwankwo, who's really looking at that NFL factor. And two, I think you got to realize this. I mean, Iowa's got a pretty young defensive back room right now, I'd say. But I think if you get a guy like Nwankwo in the fold, maybe he's not an immediate guy right away. Maybe he is. But he's a guy maybe year two that could be just a full start, like a big-time starter, I think, if he gets that right development, if he gets kind of things set up, just because he's so dang athletic and is able to make plays, like, no matter what. Like, he's a guy that I think could come in maybe right away, maybe year two or maybe later in his freshman year and make a difference because he's just that talented. So there's a lot of factors that are going into it. Nwankwo doesn't really seem to be in a rush with anything. He's looking to make the decision before his senior season. So probably if we get the official visits that we got, not this past year, but like a couple of years before, then I think that could be really telling of where things stand with him.
No, and you're exactly right, Sean. I mean, like, I think you summed it up pretty well. And he's a heavier hitter than I thought, too. I mean, he's definitely does not shy away from any contact. He's a playmaker all over the field. And you're right. I think he's a guy who can step in most programs across the country and probably make some sort of good impact in year one. He'll probably be an All-American caliber of a guy. So that'll be something to watch. And really quick, Sean, before we wrap this up, this is now on the recruiting trail, but I think with it being breaking news, we should probably address it. John Rossi of CBS Sports is reporting, according to sources, the ACC Big Ten Challenge is moving forward with a plan that it will be played on campus, and the current target date is December 8th and 9th. Frank McCaffrey was on a podcast earlier today that was released by Blue Ribbon Report. Highly recommend it. Some really good insight, I think, there. And he basically said the same, that the ACC Big Ten Challenge will be played. Was not so sure about the Gavitt games. But look, Iowa could be getting Duke in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I don't know who else probably be a contender. I mean, we all know we want to see Wisconsin, Virginia. Yeah, it's just a beautiful brand of basketball, I would think, Sean. Maybe they get North Carolina, but I mean, when do you expect, Sean, that Iowa's probably going to get an upper tier ACC team, if not one of the top two teams?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty cool if like they get a Duke or North Carolina. I haven't really looked at the ACC and how it's going to be this year, but I mean, those two teams at the top of my head obviously are going to be able. Going to be able to compete year in and year out, and I think having a big brand program coming into Iowa City or wherever they play would be a pretty big deal. I mean, we saw it a few years ago when they went to North Carolina and they got that win. That was a big deal to the program and big deal to the fan base. So definitely one of those two programs will be a lot of fun.
Florida State, I think, could be a contender as well. And I think something else too, Sean, really quick, is remember Iowa did play North Carolina in that a few years ago when Marcus Page was there, Mike Gasell was there, M. Woodbury was there, and Gasell made a play with about a minute left to really kind of seal the deal, kind of lay up and got fouled. So Iowa's proven they can't compete on that stage with some of those bigger teams. But again, that's just breaking news, Sean Rothstein. And it's good news for Iowa's non-conference schedule. So it'll be interesting to see you know, how that kind of shakes out. But I don't expect too much change from Iowa's non-conference schedule. They weren't going to be in one of those preseason tournaments. They were going to host their own and probably have some lower-tier teams. But when you play in the Gavitt games, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, you play Oregon State in neutral court, I mean, you probably need a couple of those bye-gimme games, especially when the season is shortened. So that's kind of how I would anticipate that breaking down. But again, Sean, appreciate all your recruiting insights. You've been all over at HawkeyeInsider.com, 60% off an annual subscription. So stay tuned for all recruiting news. Again, October 1st, Peyton Sanford will be announcing his college decision. And again, 60% off. So be sure to take advantage of that deal. That will be running out here sometime in the very, very near future. So hop on that. And again, thanks for listening. Thanks, Sean Bach. David Eichel here, HawkeyeInsider.com. See you next time.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.